story. It's great to tell. It's got all the different elements to it. I mean, it's got this back and this forth of Jonah kind of listening and then ignoring. It's got kind of twists and turns. It's got your kind of the peril of the high seas, the adventure. I mean, it's even got kind of pirates if you kind of read it slightly with a squint in your eye. Maybe not pirates, but I like to think of it, you know, that sense of on the high seas and they throw them overboard and all this sort of stuff. It's got kind of everything you need for a great story. And it's interesting, if you look in the book of Jonah in the Bible, there's like four chapters to it, and each chapter plots a different section of it. It's actually, though, as I've been reflecting on it, I think it's actually quite a sad story in some respects. It's a story that, I say, we probably know really well, and we like the different elements about it. Obviously, the fact of the big fish and Jonah being swallowed by it and all that thing. But actually, at its heart, there's something really quite sad about Jonah. Because he's someone who, well, he's described as a prophet. Now, a prophet in the Old Testament was someone who God would use to speak to his people. And speak to people. So God would give Jonah, as it said, it, you know, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Go to Nineveh. Only the thing was, you know, for all that, Jonah actually ignored God. So it wasn't like he was someone who didn't know God. He would have been described probably as like a really good friend of God, we'd think about that. But actually what's so sad is that even he missed what God was doing. And so as we think about the story, I think it's a story of us listening to God. Something we can think about how we listen to what God has to say. It's about trusting God. If you think about actually how are we going to trust what God asks us to do. It's about kind of doing what God asks us, or rather not doing what God asks us, or maybe the consequences. I think it talks about forgiving others, but also a story of God's grace. So there's loads that we can find within this. And I just want us to think about two kind of points briefly to reflect on from this story. Now, if we go back to the quiz, we said sharks are the only fish with eyelids, apparently. As I said, I've not checked it. That's a shark, apparently, the rare picture of a shark stepping on some Lego. But the interesting thing is fish also don't have ears that we can see, that is. Because, again, in my deep research that I've been doing for this morning, apparently they do have ear parts inside their heads. And they pick up sounds in the water through their bodies and in their internal ears. That's according to the National Wildlife Foundation. So we are full of really useful information for you this morning. The thing is, though, when we think about ears and think about this story of Jonah, it's actually one of the key things for us to consider is about the whole challenge to listen to God. And ask that question, are we listening to God? As I said, the very beginning of the book of Jonah, if you open it up and you read it, God says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. The Lord speaks to Jonah, probably not for the first time, okay? We don't know that for certain, but I'm guessing, I'm pretty certain, that God would have said other things to him before this, as he travelled round. And so, in many ways, nothing out of the ordinary. Jonah hears God speaking, but yet he decided to ignore his voice. So it wasn't that Jonah kind of maybe got something and thought, well, is that God? Is it not? Not quite sure. Maybe it's just my stomach rumbling. No. He heard God, and he decided to do the exact opposite. And I suppose there's that instant challenge, I think, for us, is are we listening to God? If we know God, if we recognize Jesus as our Savior, and we're seeking to live for him as a disciple of Jesus, one of his friends, are we listening to God? Do we actually take time to talk to God and ask what he's, listen to what he's got to say? It's very easy when we pray to always have words coming out of our mouths. But I think sometimes we need to pause and listen to the things that he might have for us. Jesus was often, you know, seen praying. He went off to pray in different places, took time aside. And although we don't know what he did in those spaces and times in terms of the details of his prayer, I think by the fact that at other points he talks about doing his Father's work, I'm pretty sure he would have spent some of that time listening to God, wanting to hear what God had to say to him, making sure he was on track, he was doing what God wanted him to do. And God can speak in lots of different ways. Lots of different ways God can speak into our lives. He can speak about big, massive decisions about in our lives. He can also speak about much smaller things every day. But are we listening to his voice? The second thing that I wanted us to think about in terms of this story is not just are we listening to God, but in this story, it's about forgiving others. Again, Jonah's often known for the big fish and the fact that he didn't do what God asked, and you know, then in the end did, because who wants to be swallowed by a fish and left in it for 3 days? It would probably make most of us change our minds on situations. Jonah obviously didn't like what God had asked him to do, and so he did a runner. He went in the opposite direction. But in the end, though, in the chapter 3, verse 3, God goes to Nineveh. Now, Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he gives God's message. He communicates the truth of God. And obviously, the thing is that actually they listen. So this city, we're told, 120,000 children. So this was a big city. I mean, it took him 3 days to walk around it. This isn't just kind of a handful of people here. And Jonah tells them to repent, and they do. And so it's like this amazing happy ending, really, of, you know, kind of they were really not doing what they should do, living not the way that God would want them to. Jonah goes and tells them to change their ways. They listen and do, and brilliant. It's all happy. Obviously, Jonah, though, isn't happy because he's actually rather put out. And he has something of a paddy, I think. I don't know if you've ever seen or you picture the idea of a two-year-old in a supermarket in the center of a busy aisle kicking off. They've managed to knock some stuff off the shelves. They're managing to flail their legs around in ways that legs probably shouldn't be flailed around in. And they're making the most atrocious noise. And then you spot their parent, who's kind of standing over them, wishing the ground would just swallow them up, because they just don't know what to do. And I think, actually, it's something of that that Jonah is doing here. He's just having this paddy because... I knew you'd forgive them. That's why I didn't want to go, because, you know, they're horrible people and the things they've done, and yet you forgive them. And that's, what's that all about? And God says to him in chapter 3, he says, you know, beginning of chapter 4, he says, you know, is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to kind of raise these questions? I mean, in Matthew 18, 21 to 22, Jesus... Peter comes to Jesus and says to him, he said, you know, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. Jesus said to him, I do say to you, up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And it's this great example of Peter kind of saying, so when's the limit on how much we should forgive others? And Jesus is kind of saying, pretty much there isn't a limit here. Because actually, however you take that final section, 70 times 7, that is a big number. And he's almost saying, you know, you can't keep count that far because you need to forgive others. And that was obviously something that Jonah had completely not grasped or completely forgotten. Because God doesn't keep account of our sin. When we come and we ask for his forgiveness... His grace and his mercy is bigger than anything that we've done. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences in our earthly lives. You know, if we do some really horrible stuff, yes, there are earthly consequences which will possibly follow. But God looks at us and he says, no, I will forgive you. Because that's what Jesus did on the cross. This week, we had a group of year two from 7, 8-year-olds come from Battle of Langton to have a look around the building. They were doing the different features of a Christian church. And so they wandered around, had a look at everything, and we opened up the baptistry. And Andy kind of talked them through what this is all about and why we do what we do. And very much illustrating the fact that it is a bit like a grave going in, but also about coming out in the new life. And that's what Jesus did for us. And that's that opportunity that we have. But it's that question as to whether we respond to that or not. And we respond in terms of the lives we live. So I wanted to take a moment just to be still and quiet. And then I'm going to pray. And just pray. Maybe if there's things that we need to think of actually, I don't really listen to God. I don't really take time out to hear what he has to say because I'm just so on my journey, doing my thing, and actually I'm not really that interested. Maybe for us it's actually going, how am I going to learn by God's grace to forgive those around me who maybe have done some really horrible things, but I'm not going to let that drag me down. Recognizing that the forgiveness that God offers us is greater than anything we will ever have to give to others. Let's just be still and then I'll pray. Father, I want to thank you for the truths of your word and the stories, maybe that we know very well, that we've heard many times before, but can really teach us truths and messages that each one of us needs to hear and take on. It's not a case that we have learned everything by a certain point in our lives. And I pray that you will help each one of us to listen to you, to the things that you're saying, whether that's in terms of the big direction our lives should take, or whether that's just how we can follow you, how we can be open to be in your hands and feet here on earth. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us not to follow the example of Jonah when it comes to forgiving others. Help us to recognize the forgiveness that you offer us, and help us to seek to do likewise to those around us, Lord.